Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Get a gun.
Everyone, welcome to Slamfire Radio. It is August 14th, 2024. This is episode 568. I am one of your hosts, Adriel.
Vomit.
Yeah. Seniority, seniority. Really.
Yeah.
Dustin Conan.
Next. Oh, I am your new host, Dustin, who doesn't have the show notes open.
And I'm Cal Tantoni.
There we go. We got it. Took a minute. Took a hot minute, but we got it. We're there.
Distracted.
All right.
Don't worry. I've heard the old shows. They do way worse. So we're okay.
Oh, yeah.
We pass.
Fine. We're fine.
No, not really. But let's go.
No? Oh, it can be worse, Kelly. It can be so
much worse. I know. I've been there. Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we start with what we did in Guns? Tony, why don't you start us off?
Oh, God. I'm starting. All right. So, finally shot something at the A-Stage Steel Challenge at BTSA. I borrowed a Rimfire Rifle Iron Gun. So, I'm now more than halfway through my Club Sirtian Challenge. So, I'm missing an open gun, which I can't really shoot anything. A single stack 1911. A limited gun, a iron sight rimfire pistol, so that's four, two revolvers, iron and optics, so that's all six. There you go. And hopefully, since we have a few Club 13 members in our club, I should be able to do them before my USPSA membership expires. There are rumors or informations that the membership fees for foreign members would be decreasing for next year because they raised it by like three times this year. It was around $35 per year, and then they jumped it to around 100, I remember. Ooh. Which is quite a bit. Considering IPSC membership, it's like, what, 40, 80? So like, everything in Canada is under 100 per year, not including range fees. If you have a range fee, it's usually in major cities. What I'm looking at is about 300 per year.
But USPSA, like, you have no representation. You can pay them.
No. BTSA is technically a USPSA club, so, but they don't give you any facility for that $100, which in currency, Canadian rupees, is what, 140, 130? It's quite a bit up there. So we'll see how Steel Challenge and USPSA's future is at the BTSA. Hopefully it's a good one. I've bought some stuff from SFRC. They're Ontario called Civil Day. We call Heritage Day in Alberta. Oh, God, I don't remember. We got a day off. Day. We got good stuff. So I have a Rifleman's Loop Sling from Magpul. This is, I think, their newer style sling. That's the simpler kind. I also have their MS slings, the Maltese. I don't know what they're called. Anyway, so not the favorite color. I don't like black guns. Just a thing, but this should help me in my next Maple Sea, so I don't have to borrow all the slings and break them. So that's good. Although, to be very frank, I am not a big fan of loop slings. They put a lot of pressure on my arm, and my noodle arms are not designed for those high pressures. To go with the sling, you got to have your QDs. Well, not quite cute. They lied about the QD part. It's just regular sling swivels, but yeah. Uncle Mike, MIMD, I believe these are stainless steel, but I might be wrong. workable. Spear bullets. This is for 223, which is the only rifle caliber I reload for now. I was thinking about going out and hunting some non-games in Alberta, so coyotes, rabbits, whatever, because you can't technically hunt in Alberta with 223. So I got some varmint bullets because it was debatable if shooting non-game animal with full metal jacket is ethical or not. Maybe Adriel was shedding some light on that topic. I recall he mentioned something about shooting coyotes with 17-inch MR. And lastly, yeah. This was on sale, and this is the last thing they had. This is a Thermold single-stack magazine charger. It's like a magazine loader thing. I might do a short video just unboxing this. Huh. This is, looks very old. I can't really find much information on it on the interweb anyway, which is very
odd. It's older than you are.
Did you bought likely that novelty factor, not because you have noodle thumbs too, right?
Sorry?
You bought that
pretty much because 1911 mags aren't that hard to load. I've loaded P mags 10 round. P mag 17, that's natively 10 rounds. Those suckers are hard to load. So I have an ETS mag loader for that. Everything else is like, this will save your thumb, but they're not important. Like jamming the 10th round in those things are difficult. So it's like, they have the last one, it's like $10, so I might as well grab it. Despite the fact I hate thermal magazines because they're like sharp plastic garbage, unlike Magpul magazines, which are awesome. What else did I buy? Oh yeah. I bought, not the gun, I have the gun. This is the gun I shot the last Ipsic style rifle match at the BTSA was dominating the MAC division, the manual action contemporary division, because I'm the sole competitor, which is surprising because I was the sole manual action competitor. I saw I was both times supposed to have competition, didn't have competition. So won both times. This is the Troy PR 223. Because 308 is too expensive to shoot, and at the time I don't have any 308 guns. I still don't. And this is the older version. The nowadays, they actually renewed it. I don't believe they have made it into Canada yet, not because of a lack of FRT, because this is actually my only full black rifle, because I thought it would be really funny to make it look like an AR, but it's manually actuated, so no one can get mad at me. This is the older version that does not have MOOC rails. You can see all the, if you're on YouTube, you can see all the holes on it. This is, depends on who you ask, the Troy Alpha rail, the Troy TRX rail, the Troy Delta rail, and lots of names to it. But it uses a proprietary attachment system for your rail sections. So similar idea to MOOC and back in the day key mod, but after, what was it called? The US experiment crane. There's a whole name for it. There's a few letters before that. They decided MOOC is more durable and then eliminated key mod basically off the face of the earth, like in a week. So this was, in a sense, a competitor to that. It was considered as an advancement to the quad rail system because you don't need all your extra rails if you don't need them. I had to import from Brownells one of the rail sections because they're not very popular in Canada anymore, because why would they be? MOOCs everywhere. But this thing is proprietary in that sense, and there's no other way to mount a bipod on it. So it's like, because they've launched a new version of this, I better hurry up before they stop making the rail sections, then I can never mount a bipod on this thing. So I rushed out and grabbed one of the rail sections on Brownells. They were able to import it for me. I know. I should ask. I should ask. But that's a long time ago. So
someone got into Troy Alpha rails.
And someone had real sections, spare real sections. So these are not cheap, all things considered. These are like $20 US, shipping not included, tax not included.
Did you get the what do you got for a sling mount on that thing? Do you have the QD cup or do you have a clip? Or
I have nothing at the moment. I'm thinking dual QD in the end, but the Magpul QD adapters are available, so that's not a huge
no.
Deal.
No.
I know there's also I think you probably have something.
I have cups and I have the one that goes in here.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It goes in the circle.
So I might, I don't know, race out this gun. We'll see about that. There's something I'll mention in upcoming events later, but this gun may or may not qualify for its own division this year. Is this fall in the fall PCC Rifle Championship? They changed the name, but maybe I won't be the champion anymore. We'll see about that. So yeah, just proprietary rails. If you need things, maybe get them before they're extinct. That would be a good idea. I could have just also splurge and maybe get an MLOC rail from Troy, but that seems like a lot of effort.
And too much last, just to add accessories on.
I got to... Fingers crossed, because you never know what our authorities will do to you. This, hopefully, because it's not scary, because my arms have to work for it, won't be banned. We don't know that yet, but that's wishful thinking. Yeah, it looks scary, which is great. I love it. Last but not least.
Look less scary. Put some like anime girl stickers on there or something.
Yes.
Yeah. No. This, see, every single other of my guns are not pure black. That's, I don't like black guns. I don't know why. So I thought I'm going to show the K9. And you can see on the bottom all the discoloration of all the gases leaking out. This is the left side. This is not the side with the ejection port, right? And you can see how that's that black dot is where I put my finger. It's... I don't know what to tell you. And you can see on the back, it's all covered.
Are you sure that's not a firing gun? Because it looks like it.
So, there you go. What am I going to do as the K9? I don't know yet. I'm going to mention something in the new gun stuff section again later, but I think I would like to replace it with something else that's more racy per se. Probably the only things that's going to stay is the Magpul furnitures, the Vortex sight, and the backup Magpul sights. But
right, so just change the gun.
Yeah, just change the gun.
How racy?
How racy?
Steel Challenge racy or?
Not quite Steel Challenge racy. I want it to be like regularly functional too. More for IPSC, I want to say. So FX9 restricted or the Raven9 restricted would be probably pretty good. I don't know if there's any other upcoming 9mm PCC I'm really interested in. You can't have a CMMG Banshee. Radio delay, that would be nice. But
you should build, Tony, you should build a kitty cat K9. That's what you should do.
Why?
Because it would be fun.
Yeah.
Like how short are we talking about?
A properly short barrel. Something restricted. That's still legal, but like restricted. Yeah, build like a kitty cat K9. Something
I could just go buy an FX9 with a 4.5-inch barrel.
Then you can't
4.5-inch.
And then like, sell the K9.
Yeah, I don't. They do sell the restrict. I don't know what, again, my track record was Kodiak, not the greatest, but I don't know what's up with them per se. They didn't really advertise the whole restricted kit for the K9, but it is out there. They do have them on their website. For some reason, they don't offer it as a gun. At least not yet. That's how I know. And would the Mike is asking, would the FN PS90 be considered as a PCC? I don't believe so. The 5-7 round may not be a qualifying cartridge for IPSC. Depends on your club. 3-gun is more of an outlaw thing. But
you're going to lose anyways.
You're going to lose because you only have 5 rounds mags.
Yeah.
And those 5-round mags are going to be expensive as heck. You probably don't want to dump them into the mud. They got to rotate the cartridge anyway. Also, you can't reload that. Apparently people do, but like I've heard the brass are not drawn. No, not the the ammo reloading, the hand loading part. Apparently the brass are turned, not drawn, and they have a tendency of cracking after very few reloads. So just a note out there that the source was Vortex, the Vortex Nation podcast. One of their reloading episodes mentioned that, but I don't think if you're shooting a P90, you'll be really, really, concerned about that. All right, I see Kelly's internet connection is good, so we'll go to her next.
Woohoo! So I have internet. Awesome.
Yay.
It booted me twice already today, so and it's only 17 minutes in, so let's see if it holds out.
I've already dragged on the first section. Oops.
Been doing quite a bit since last week. I went to Cornwall as well as Smith Falls, did maple seeds this past weekend. Great days, rained, and I mean torrential downpour on Saturday. It waited until we were done shooting, literally packing up, and I mean torrential downpour. The next day, we did have to suspend shooting for a period of time. It was raining, but I don't care about rain. We're going to be shooting in rain, but the whole lightning piece that was just right over our top of us, that was a little bit of a concern, so we did suspend it. Had a great time, though. We had some issues with some optics, especially. A couple of people mounted their optics 2 days in a row. It was weird. Two new shooters that mounted their own optics, and they did it 90 degrees, and it was weird.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, so it was interesting. A lot of fun. There was 7 loners on Sunday. We got them all out on the line. Well, one of the reasons is because there was a lady there, brand new shooters, and they all brought all kinds of different guns that were totally, yeah, we had to replace everything.
50 BMG, yes!
Mm-hmm. So there was one that was on the line. It was a Wildcat, and I'm going, oh, Jesus.
Wow, reloaders out here. Holy, they're going to win the match.
No, like a Winchester Wildcat.
No, Winchester. Yeah, it's my favorite gun ever.
I got excited.
No. So everybody knows. Everybody who listens to the show knows how much I like the Winchester Wildcat, right? Correct?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm going, oh, it's on the line. Isn't that? Yeah, great. So new shooter woman, she was fantastic, great attitude, everything. But the gun, she had some really decent groups, and all of a sudden it just wasn't shooting. And I'm going, okay, well, maybe let's work on the fundamentals. Her fundamentals were fantastic. So I'm going, okay. Later on, I said, why don't I shoot it to see what's going on? And maybe it's, I've checked the scope, I checked everything, checked. Nope. And then I shot it, and I'm going, yeah, I'm not that bad of a shot. Like I've shot a little bit in my lifetime. And we immediately removed the Wildcat. Don't know what was going on with it. Anyways, replaced it
with
one
donut. Did it get like a lead or carbon buildup donut inside?
I'm wondering. But anyways, so she was shooting CCI as well, so it's not like she was shooting cheap shit. And I replaced it with one of the 1022 liners, and it was just like everything came together, right? The sun, the moon, and everything aligned. And she was so excited and so happy when she went down range after shooting the liner rifle.
And she patched?
No, she didn't patch, but she actually, there is improvement. She's a brand new shooter. That was the first time she's handled a firearm, and it went from to her actually being able to shoot within a good 4 to 5 MOA, right? So one and a half inch group. And then even less than that by the end of the day. She was super excited. It was such a wonderful day with the whole entire family. But so I decided I was going to tell my story about the wildcat, and it was being a piece of crap.
Really? Just the accuracy just falls off a cliff like that?
Yeah, it was bad. And then what else happened on Monday night? We had a shoot bus call. Adriel wasn't on it. It's exciting stuff. Adriel, I still have to write up my notes for it and post that.
Yeah, where are those notes? Must not have been that important.
Yeah, well, anyways.
No notes.
I took notes-ish. I'll put them out. Last night we had the She Shoots podcast. We had Carly and Vanja from Vortex Optics on. It was amazeballs. If you guys haven't taken the opportunity to go and listen to it, they're a really great couple, and the company itself is really a great company as well, Canadian Optics Company. So excited we had them on, and yeah, I'm really looking forward to chatting with them again. They made some recommendations for upcoming She Shoots podcasts, females that they've been working with, and funny enough, a bunch of them are already females that I'm working with currently. So it means that it's a small community, but also people are supporting each other too. This weekend is going to be a huge weekend for me. I have on Friday all of the CCFR women's group. We're going to go up to Collingwood. We're going to be having our Ontario version of the calendar shoot. So we're going to be doing that this weekend and spending some time with some beautiful ladies and some really great people. And I want to really give a shout out to a couple of people in the shout out section about helping us out with the photo shoot. So other than that, I haven't been doing much this week. What about you, Dustin?
I think everybody knows I'm the new armorer on Rust 2 or Electric Boogaloo. We're reshooting the entire movie with guns so that everybody's nice and safe. I was out on set for several days, why I wasn't here last week. I also, last weekend, went and visited some friends down stateside for a real quick trip. I was down there for like 30 hours, still managed to squeeze in some freedom shooting, visiting my shout out to
pew, pew, pew.
Seiko. No, it was more like click, 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 click. He's got a great little like 30-yard range on his property, and we were shooting suppressed everything. I am so envious. He just got a couple of new cans, and it's unacceptable how good that technology is. I'm going to have to import some up here. It's
$200 tech stem.
Why not that? But I'll pay all the import fees and all the other pain in the assery of it. But yeah, he got some really nice new 22, one that was a 22 can, swear to God, that big, maybe 3 inches. And the noisiest part of the entire experience was the brass hitting the ground. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And then he's got that Ruger, bolt action Ruger takes AR mags, totally blanking on the name, but
the wrench.
Thank you. Yeah. So we put another can he got on that, and we were shooting out of his shop, and it was the same thing. So quiet. It's unacceptable. It was so much fun, but we mostly had just fun just shooting 22s. And that was like most of the gun stuff that I did in my when I wasn't like making sure people were being safe.
Cooler than my entire shooting career.
Yeah.
Suppressed 223. Oh God, the blast would be minimal.
There's nothing. It's unbelievable.
It'd be great. Oh man.
Yeah. I want to go to there. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's all that I did that was gun related in the last like 2 weeks.
How hard is it to become an armorer in the States?
Apparently not hard. I think they're implementing on a federal level some new rules. And we're actually seeing there's some new rules, like I think being self-imposed, in Canada for some of that stuff. I'm seeing some of the guys, you know, set up some new courses and some new things just for like folks in and around that, you know, anybody that's even like in the periphery of it. So, but yeah, in the States, I think they're setting up some federal rules to kind of prevent that from happening again. Cause it's like, it's, you throw a rock and you hit two guys with an FFL down there. It does not seem complicated to get.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yep.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, I think that's all of us, right?
Yeah.
No, I'll do mine next.
Adriel didn't do anything yet.
Yeah.
This is at the top. I'm just reading. Now I'm reading the show notes.
What did I do? I did an RPAL combo course over the weekend. Got that in through. Yeah, lots of people in the PAL and the RPAL. A little bit less this time. It varies so much from weekend to weekend. It's crazy. I went out and shot the Raven and the 300 Blackout, and changing the buffer out and putting the correct buffer means that my charging handles didn't break or bend or do anything. Yeah,
funny, eh?
Yeah, great. It just worked.
Please read the user instruction very, very carefully before you operate this firearm.
Yeah, and assemble the firearm. Yeah, this thing runs great. I'm loving, like, this barrel is so accurate. I'm making shots out to 300 with thread dot on it just fine. So that's
awesome.
It's going to be good for my three gun stuff. What's that, Dustin?
Would recommend to a friend?
Yeah, I would. Everything I wanted. I got some SFRC stuff in. I got a new gas piston for my MCR. So it's in the back over there. No, you can't see it, so who cares? And I got a linear brake for my 300 Blackout. There it is, right there. Yeah, so I had like a little short just muzzle thread protector, but the brake was cheap, and this is actually very light. This is one of the S&J hardware ones.
Yeah.
And it looks cooler than just the muzzle thread protector on the end there.
Yeah. I want a Navesky's Flaming Pig. Yeah, that seems expensive,
that's
though.
That's an old one. Yeah.
Looks cool, though, as a pig. Blowing fire.
Yeah. I got some more stuff on the way from SFRC, some bullets, and I think a couple of other things. I got my primers in from Cabela's, so I'd go stop in there and grab those. And while I was there, I grabbed another Sig Romeo 5X. That's their red dot that has the AAA battery instead of the coin battery. So there's the Romeo 5 that takes a coin battery, and you can change the mounts on it. The 5X is just one height mount, AAA, and that's it. I like it. I wouldn't want to, it's not as flexible as the other one, but AAAs are like, I always have AAAs when I'm at the range because my headsets run on AAAs. So easy to change out if I ever need to. Not that I will though, because it's got 50,000 hours of life and I'll change it every year. So who cares? So I got one of those. The Romeo 5X, I like everything except for one MOA clicks. That's just...
Really?
Half would be fine. One MOA clicks is just a little bit too much. A little bit too much. Did some more reloading. Did a whole bunch of 9mm. I ended up... I don't know if these hollow points are different. So the Campro hollow points, they're like $3 more per thousand. So I'm like, oh, I'll get a bunch of those. And I was reloading those. And I kept getting the case, like shaving the bullet. The bullet goes down and it gets cut by the case mouth. And I'm like, maybe I'm just not holding it correctly. I kept doing it. So finally I just said, you know what, that's enough garbage bullets. So I just set it to bell the neck a little bit more. So for our listeners, that just like opens up the neck a little bit more. So when you put the bullet in there, it doesn't like cut it on the way down. So too much of that and you end up like working the neck too much or the mouth too much and it'll like crack. But I wanted the ability to not break my bullets as I was putting them in.
Just as a side note, I've loaded both Campro round nose and hollow points. In my experience, they are not different in the overall diameter. I'm thinking there could be a lot-to-lot difference. And I don't know, maybe I'm just expanding my neck too much regardless. So it wasn't a problem for me, but just a data point.
I don't know. And then just as I was like rolling it around, so I've got them in a pistachio container here. And I noticed one of my primers was in sideways. So Nice. That one out. I'll go fix that later.
Yeah.
Go put a hand primer for that one.
You don't inspect them after you're done, eh? I do.
I expect them as they go into the mag.
No, I do them. I don't like how you like to store things in boxes, like loose. Well, there's a reason. I know you did a video on the ETS loader, but I'm guessing you don't use that too often. I use the ETS loader as my primary. So for me, having them in trays, it's much easier. Yeah. And so what I do is I'm pretty new to Progressive, so I think it's a good safety precaution, but I load them into the CCI trays because they stack the best. They actually stack with each other without the boxes in a stagger pattern. And they're kind of the widest, which isn't great, but they do kind of store the nicest.
Yeah.
And I inspect them when I
put them in trays.
Yeah.
Like I've got.
Do you though?
I've got 5,000 rounds sitting down here of 9mm. And this will be about 600 or so.
That's not time.
So I would need a lot of boxes. I'd need to keep a lot of boxes to put them on trays. I agree, though. Like loading off the tray with the ETS loader is a lot faster. Don't worry about it.
No.
Draws a lot of eyeballs on a range, too. Say, what is that? It's very fast.
No, when I go to the range, you know the size I really like is a shotgun shell box. A shotgun shell box, you can fit like a couple hundred 9mm in there.
That
fits in one of my like 50 cal tins kind of a thing. So if I'm going to go shoot 3-gun, I need to carry 9mm, 223 shotgun shells. I throw all my mags in, as well in there. So all that stuff ends up inside the tin. And I use it like a little 25 round shotgun shell case to hold my 9mm until it gets too worn out or blows out, and then I got to get another one. But
that works.
Yeah, that works fine. And then this came in. Yeah. This is the Smith & Wesson. They call it their M&P FPC. I don't know why they put the M&P label on everything. It's their 9mm pistol caliber carbine. If I put a couple things on there. That break I added on, and the red dot I added on. I did have the Aimpoint Pro on here. It didn't look right. It was way too big, way too big. Whereas the Sig Romeo is much smaller, and it fits with the overall aesthetic of the rifle a little bit better. I haven't taken it out shooting yet, but I've already seen some pros and cons, things I like or don't like about it. It's very lightweight. It's very plasticky. I watched a bunch of the YouTube videos described it as uses a lot of polymer. It's like, that's all plastic.
No, it's plastic.
lots of plastic. Yep. This fore-end, for example, is clamshell. So it's split down the middle and it's got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 little bolts and nylock nuts holding the whole thing together, which
You signed up for this. I said no.
I know. I know. And the fore end touches the barrel everywhere. There. It's like grabbing onto the barrel. Because there's like, otherwise the fore end would have no rigidity to it. It uses the barrel. So you couldn't use this for maple seed. If any kind of torsion on here, you're gonna be like pulling on stuff.
The barrel, yeah.
It's a marketing term. It's a fully supported barrel.
I'm really curious to hear your review of how that thing operates in the wintertime.
I think it's going to be okay. Running bolts inside like a full plastic enclosed gun, I find it works good in winter. Now, the only thing that might jam up is like the bolt itself, like the firing pin and that kind of thing. Those tend to freeze up if you get too much oil in it, but the rest of it's fine.
Sure.
The folding mechanism on it's all right as well. Uses the charging handle to kind of latch on and hold on like an M-lock slot on the fore end there. And it does fold down kind of small, but actually quite a bit more bulky than the Sub 2000. So people say like, oh, it's the same thing as the Sub 2000. No, it's not. Because it's folding in this sideways direction means right. that the case that you put it in, most like cases, you don't
need
mind
to be
if
kind
it's
of
a
tube.
Little bit tall. Yeah, it makes it very thick, like really, really thick when you fold it sideways like that. So it's not quite as compact, but you got the dot on there with no nonsense. No, like, fucky, turny fore ends or little doodads that turn and that kind of thing. It just sits on top of there, on the top of the polymer rail.
Yeah, have you have you practiced, like, quick deploy? Get it open, get a mag in, how fast you can...
You can leave the mag in there.
That's
you
fair.
Just have it in there. The stock carries extra mags, too. Yeah. But it's fucking stupid. They should have just went with a straight one because it's so fat and heavy. And when you press this, it unlocks the other one. It unlocks the one on the other side.
Oh, that's dumb. Oh, God.
Yeah. 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 So that's how that bit works. The other thing I really don't like about the mags is that the grip length. So they have a compact grip length and compact mags, right?
Right.
Following so far.
Yeah.
But they sell it with, like, extendo mags and regular length mags with this plastic
pad
filler piece.
Yeah.
The pinky piece.
Why didn't they just make a regular size? Oh, well, we made it subcompact. So if you have a subcompact pistol and you have this, they can share mags. Yeah, but this is a PCC. I don't want to share mags with my subcompact, like, hooker gun. I want, like, full-size mags for this thing.
That's terrible. I'm thinking... maybe from the data, they will be able to say in the States, the Smith & Wesson subcompact sells the best. So we're trying to
maybe
find the most biggest customer base. Da, da, da. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the other, like all other PCCs use Glock mags.
Yep.
Like pretty much everything else out there uses Glock mags. So they had to, you know, support their, I don't mind the M&P mags. It was just... I don't like that that they went for that short one because you end up with this kind of junk in the way. And when you ram that mag in, your hand, like, look at my hand here. Like, there's nowhere for my pinky to go. And then you ram this thing in here and you pinch the crap out of your pinky because you're putting in a bunch of that kind of stuff in the way. So I don't really like that.
I would bet that the Gen 2 version of that gun has a single mag holder that isn't stupid and that they extend the grip on that. If I had to put money on it, like,
The stock is really chunky. Like it's a really chunky stock on this thing. TACOM in the US, they make a replacement one that is nice and slim and trim because it's I don't really like how that I get why they did it. It's just I don't like it's gimmicky. It's gimmicky where it didn't need to be. I don't mind the charging handle back here, you know, take it or leave it. It's the same for me. I think the sub 2000, it's got that one that you pull down. It's easier to lock open cause you just pull it and turn and away you go. Yeah. So if you have a double feed or something like that, that one's going to be easier to use. You can't really use the slide release on here. You kind of just hit the charging handle. That's fine. I don't think there's anything bad with that.
Does it have last round hold open? It does.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that's an improvement over the sub 2000. Sub 2000 does not have that. And how strong is the spring?
I don't know.
Sub 2000 spring is notoriously strong. It's really hard for even the full size grown adult to operate.
Feels heavy. And that bolt is heavy. I can tell the bolt is heavy. This thing like balances very nicely. So like I can hold it with just a couple of fingers because it is just a little bit nose heavy right on the grip there. So just with one hand, it's very, very pointable and very easy. The front is very light because it just used a skinny little barrel, plastic fore, and there's nothing up there, right? And all the weight is in the bolt. So if you pull it back here, it pulls the gun back.
I'll bet you.
It changes the... Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm talking over you. I was going to say, I bet you the 16-inch version of that gun is perfectly balanced.
I feel like this one's pretty well balanced. Even just with the 18.5, I feel like it's like pulling up. If you're to shoot Steel Challenge or whatever, like it's very quick to move because there's so little weight up front. I think that's really good. The trigger itself isn't too bad. So it's got a little blade on there. Press your blade down. I think that's fine. I don't like the crossbolt safety. I just don't know why they have to have it on there. Maybe there's like something in America where they have to have it, but Like, this is an MMP pistol. The MMP pistol does not have a safety on it. I don't want a safety on this thing. Be cooler if it didn't have one. But at least it's like textured and it's like, it's a really ergonomic shape. Look at that. Just wants, wants your finger to go on there. You're not going to miss it. So I think that's
unless good. You're a lefty, then it's going to be your own direction.
I don't care. it might be reversible.
How dare you don't care about your left-handed brother's ergonomic choices?
Not at all. And you can't load, like, this isn't a gun you can put a scope on because there's just no spot
no place
here.
Yeah.
I think there's a rail you can use the screws on this thing to replace and put a rail up there. Ugh. I don't think that would be a good idea. I think the red dot's a correct way to go with this thing.
Mm.
The 80s con and they want their skull scopes back.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, I'll shoot this weekend.
Okay. Let us know how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this weekend I'll be doing a maple seed at Chaz and shooting that gun, I guess.
Cool.
That's what we'll do. Yep. Let's get on to upcoming events. I guess I'll check out the three gun events here. Kelly, if you want to
do
the maple seeds afterwards. Cool. Yeah, yep. So for three gun, the Canadian multi-gun series in Guelph, that's on September 6th. September 7th is the Chaz three gun Battle of Alberta. I'll be there. That'll be that 2-day one. CDTSA's three gun match will be Sunday on the 8th. Sherwood Park's running one September 24th. I think that one was canceled though. That one might be canceled. September 28th, Mighty Peace Three Guns team match up in Peace River. I think that's why it's canceled, because we're all going up there to do that.
Mm.
Like the whole group, just going north. That'll be September 28th. And then October 5th will be another Chaz Three Gun match. Kelly, what about Maple Seeds?
Yeah, there's a few. So Adriel was talking about doing the Chaz one. That's on August 17th. We have Nanaimo Fish and Game on August 20th. Bonnyville, there's still spots available in that on August 24th. Tabor Shooting. So there's nothing on there. We were going to talk about having that added.
No,
that.
Did you talk about it at the Shoot Boss call?
It's Rick. No? Yeah. So we figured it out. It's all Rick's fault. So we'll get that up there. Lloydminster. So again, Lloydminster, August 31st, it's in danger of being canceled because there's only a couple of people who've signed up for it. So if you're in that area, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Lloydminster, it's on the border. Come on, go out and attend. September 7th, the Lady Seed in Blue Ridge Sportsman's Club, which is in Blue Mountain, Ontario. That's happening. I'm going to be there. There's still only a couple of spots left, I think. So go out if you're a lady and you'd like to attend Maple Seed and, you know, see me and we'll chat. September 14th, there's Sherwood Park. September 15th, again, it's a ladies only event. The Kellys are coming out to Alberta. We're going to be doing that one. I'm hoping to see everybody there. September 21st, I can't talk. Broken Head River Fish and Gaming Club, that's in Manitoba. You can register there. September 26th, Lone Butte. It's also women's only. I'm not going. I have other commitments here in Ontario. September 28th, we have Chaz again. September 28th, you're going to see me at CFP Borden as well as Mr. Rick. And then on the 29th, that's CFP Borden, we're doing the known distance. There is a prerequisite. You have to be a rifleman to attend that event. But come on out. We'd love to see you. Yep. That's it.
SPFGA Maple Seed on Sunday there, September 15th. Right. I was just noting. I'm like, oh, one of those is on the 14th. I got a PAL course on the 14th. I'll be there. But not at the Maple Seed for the Sunday.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, Kelly and I will be there. So you're going to have a couple of extra instructors on the 14th, the 15th.
All right.
We're there specifically 15th. For the ladies' day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Tony, did you put this IPSC Alberta event in there?
Correct. It is your BTSA store reporting IPSC Alberta, Kananaskis, and Formac on the same weekend. So don't try to attend both. It will be 2 weeks from now, so registration opened up yesterday. If you haven't registered, well, IPSC people probably know, but it's a good reminder to throw in there. CRPS match at the BTSA this coming weekend on August the 17th, 2024. And registration for the aforementioned rifle and PCC match at the BTSA will be starting next Tuesday. So I thought I'll give you an early reminder in case it runs out, but I don't think so. Usually we have a few empty spots, so I'll do a reminder next week as well. But super fun practical shooting rifle match in the Calgary area. Usually we do it twice a year. I would encourage you to attend this time because Taylor Reich, again, shout out for being the Carry Optics and match winner of the Canadian Nationals this year. He will be going, at least what I've heard, he will be going to the World's Shoe next year, so he might not be able to match direct those. So we might put that on hiatus for a year or two. So this might be your last chance. That's about it.
Worked over by Taylor. That's anytime I show up at a match with him.
This is annoying. Like BTS is an amazing club, but like go to IPSC, I gotta compete with Taylor, I got wrecked. And then I go to Steel Challenge, I gotta shoot with the Canadian national winner, I got wrecked again. So I was like, this is terrible. But you always have a pretty steady benchmark to compare yourself against, so you will see your percentage kind of go up and down, which is kind of nice. You always have a pretty steady, not 100% steady, but pretty steady benchmark to go against, which is nice. That should be everything for upcoming events.
I think the common part here is you getting wrecked. I think that's the common part.
Yeah,
exactly. Other people go in there. Yeah. All right. That was our... I might have to go to that rifle match. That was on November 3rd, right?
Let me see.
Are you guys going to allow camping again?
Always.
Like that.
Always. Yeah, yes, November the 3rd. Might be cold, though.
Meh.
You keep saying you're coming. You never come. We're sitting. That's the problem.
Probably should, hey. No news this week. New gun stuff is brought to you by Bullseye North. New boomstick. Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR with a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter. Subscribe to their newsletter for the access to the hottest deals. And the bit that they had that I wanted to show was they've got 10% off Mossberg's. Mossberg.
Look at that.
Mossberg shotguns. Yes.
10%.
Mossberg shotgun. Mm-hmm. You need a Mossberg shotgun.
Just one of those.
Adriel says no because you can't quad load them. Well, it'd be hard to quad load them.
Get one of these. You don't need to quad load it. Get the 20-round mag on
then it. Then you're shooting open division. That's terrible. I hate it.
Uh-huh. Another retro series. Oh, there's the dumpster defender. Yeah. Shotgun.
They have a 590, which is pretty nice. The was a full stock short barrel, I remember.
That retro runs pretty. Oh, that A1 I have.
Oh, those 590 mags are so expensive.
Yeah, boy.
I hate to say it. Somebody needs to just 3D model that. It's not a complicated build. You could make that.
And they look so ugly. The Remington ones look so much better, and they're slimmer.
Yep. Anywho, that's that. Cabela's for their Wild Wednesday today. So if you're looking for some primers, they've got those, like rifle primers.
Yeah.
They've got large rifle primers. They also got a fairly good deal on shotgun shells, $44 for 100. Oh, it's out of stock online, limited stock in some places. And then if you are looking for a red dot, an AR height red dot, well, those 5Xs, yeah, they're on sale for $189. Huh. So
that's not a bad deal.
It's very
And if you're going to go and shop at Cabela's, go to our website, click on the link.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And then round up. Okay, go ahead.
Round up for that outdoor fund. Yeah, that you bet. Some of that ends up in Maple Seed, right?
No.
And she shoots.
She shoots. I think I'm going to... we should talk about applying for that for Maple Seed.
Yeah. Canada's Gun Store has some Browning T-bolts in stock. So if these are those straight pull 22s or rimfires.
Yep.
Right around $1,200. They're very fancy.
Wow, look at the maple. Fancy.
Pretty. Yeah, it is pretty.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Pretty.
Let's see. I run guns. They've got some different triggers that they can bring in. The SAR Geisley Super Saber and Lightning Bow. So if you're looking for something to make your IWI Tavor a little bit better, yeah, they've got those kind of things.
I did mine.
And it does make it.
Oh, my X95 is a treat to shoot. Yeah.
Makes a big difference, eh?
Huge. Huge.
Yeah. They've also got CZ Bren 2s, the 16.5-inch barreled ones, which is just so close, but so far.
Intentionally. But
they're 1,900 US, which is like 2,700 Canadian, somewhere around there.
Yep.
That's not that bad.
Too much.
If you're just going to compete with it, too, boy, that's a good competition gun.
True.
But that's a lot of plastic for $2,700 as well.
Kel-Tec.
Let's see. London Darrow Sports has the Tika. I just wanted to show this one because it had a neat stock, GRS Bifrost stock. So it's the Tika T3X CTR with a GRS Bifrost stock and 6.5 Creedmoor, 24 inches for $2,250. And
I am sorry, but that looks so uncomfortable. What the?
No, that looks comfortable.
It's not. It's not an inline recoil system. I hate it.
That's close enough. It's a bolt action too. And this gives you a spot to put your other hand. And that looks like adjustable, like shim adjustable length of pole.
Length of pole. Yeah.
And adjustable cheek rest on it. And it looks like we got some QD cups and sling swivels. So take your pick on what you want for your sling on there. Anywho, they got that. Closest to buying a pistol in Canada right now. What do we got?
Oh, yeah. Field reporter Cowtown Tony is going to do the reporting for you on this news story. Sorry, all the news story has been new gun stuff. So indoor range, straight shooter indoor. So SSIR in Calgary has started to offer the closest thing to purchasing a handgun in Canada. They have allegedly consulted with the Alberta CFO to start this deal. Basically, you would need a basic membership with them, and then you will pay a premium on top of that that goes according to the price of the gun to gain exclusive access to one of their pistol in inventory. And if the law were to change where transfer is allowed again, you will be able to have first choice, first option to purchase that firearm for $1. So basically, you've prepaid for the gun. You're just doing that to legalize the whole transfer process. Additional costs include a $200 per year. So in case the legality doesn't change within the first year, a $200 per year storage fee with SSR. I've went into the store to pick up some other stuff, but I've also asked. Apparently, the new part is you can now sign this pistol out of the range with the ATT for 1 week at a time. That's the maximum they've given so far. But apparently, there is going to be an extra charge for that service. I'm not sure per time or per year. They're not too clear on that. I've posted in, maybe Adriel can show that, in the Discord channel, what they have featured. The picture isn't great. They don't have all the tags flipped correctly, but they have a few options, a few Glocks. I believe MR920 from Shadow Systems. There's a 50 cal Deagle.
Stupid gun.
Probably not that useful for competition. There's a Bond arm, Derringer kind of thing. There's a CZ, either a Shadow 2 or TS2. I'm not a CZ, how do you say?
Tactical Sport, CZ Tac Sport 2, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a TS, I guess.
Yeah.
So a few things. The prices isn't quite clear. So if you're in Calgary or near Calgary, you might want to call in or go into the store to look at those and confirm. But it is mostly designed for people who already have a membership with SSIR. You gotta It used to be that you couldn't sign the pistol out. I believe the signing the pistol out part is kind of the new part and the hot part, really, because now you can take it to IPSC competition. So for me, for example, it would be somewhat of a viable option. Too bad they don't have a 1911, or if the price is right, I would have sprung for it. So yeah, just other ways Canadian companies, gun stores are trying to offload there. Yeah, there's a TT-33 too. There's a Tokarev in there.
Oh yeah, that'll be
to offload some of their inventories. But overall, it wouldn't be cheap, because the more expensive you go, the $200 per year storage is less a part of the whole cost. If you bought a TT-33 for, let's say, $400, then your $200 isn't quite, in my opinion, worth it per year. So yeah, some more information can be found on the SSIR Facebook page. You can Google that, but yeah, they don't have too much information on there. Yeah, you should just go in. Stray Shooter Indoor Range in Calgary.
Cool.
And last thing is, watch out. There's a few fake gun sites in...
Oh, that looks good, too.
That's really good.
Yeah, but you will notice both of them, I think, are by the same people. So first one is the Wild West Gun Shop CA.com, which I'm thinking their imitation of the logo is the imitation of the Wild West Gun Store in West Edmonton Mall, Edmonton, in Alberta. The other one is Gun N, as in the letter N, AmmoCanada.com. So they look very scammy. They say they take credit card, but if you go to the checkout, they either take PayPal, Bitcoin, or e-transfer. So some clues there. I would say if you are dealing... Also, they don't require you to put in a PAL. So that's kind of fun. Basically, everything on their websites are quote-unquote on sale. And Adriel's trying to do some shenanigans. At the moment, yes, don't give them your email, because they're going to sell that. So things like that. Also, if you open the front page of them, you'll see all the gun racks have U.S. flags behind them instead of Canadian flags. Not quite patriotic, in my opinion, but
yeah,
just watch out. There's I believe they did a fantastic job on SEO, and they were they will appear on the freaking simplified Chinese. Freaking popcorn? What? Now the translation don't make sense. Anyway, so yeah, they did a fantastic... I believe professional scammers. They did a fantastic job for SEO. So they will start to appear on the very top of your search results. For example, I was searching for 8-inch FX9s in Canada, and they appear in our list. I don't remember Wild West having this kind of a page, and I did some more digging into it. So yeah, just watch out.
Bigger bangers. Stuff yeah, they're very well optimized.
Expensive these days. Everyone's trying to hunt for a good deal. Like me, like Adriel, we're that kind of people, but we want everyone to stay vigilant out there. That's my PSA.
What size is this? It's no size. You just
no size.
$1,000.
You don't need PAL for or RPAL for anything.
Do they sell any handguns on there? We can get some handgun deals. No PAL. Yeah.
They sell 50 BMGs.
Ooh, let's get a
couple. They have 50 BMGs. Nice. I saw that. So
that's
excellent. Oh, I want an AR-15.
A few rec flags.
What a deal. Add to cart.
Lifetime warranty. Yes.
$800. You can't go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Can't go wrong.
Yeah, oh, that one was scary right here.
Yeah, they have a CMMG Banshee on there. You can't have that in Canada.
That's infuriating.
Dustin, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now my life is just in shambles.
No.
Oh, man, large pistol for $32. Wow.
Per sal. Wow. Great deals. Awesome.
Don't trust anything.
See FX9s. That's what I was looking at.
Yep. Cool. And you got a YouTube thing you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah. The last thing, Brandon Herrera's video on Call of Duty stole the AK-50, which is kind of an interesting watch. And that will transition nicely into our main topic for today. Brought to you by Dustin. Dustin, what is our main topic for today?
So as I was sitting around babysitting things on set, I really wanted to know what everybody's like quintessential favorite or like really iconic TV and movie and yes, okay, video game gun is. As a props guy, this is important to me. The things that we kind of hit on, what like was it a features thing? Was it a look? Is it a feel? Was it like, what's your favorite movie and TV / video game gun? And why? And be prepared to have me ask you questions.
I will go last because I know very little about TV and movies.
Okay. Really? That's fair. That's you've never seen something on a TV movie?
No, it's just I was introduced to why do I feel like I'm going first now? I was introduced to Western like movies and TVs very late in the game per se. I didn't speak well. It's not I didn't speak English at all in my early teens, but most of the time was spent watching Top Gear with subtitles, and I still have to pause a lot of times because it was hard for me to understand.
They shot
hard for us to understand too.
Yeah, Jeremy Clarkson's barely speaking English. Okay, well, in that case, Tony, if you want to go last, Adriel, give me your top three.
The pistols from Equilibrium,
of course. Yeah.
The Berettas,
yeah. Iconic.
Yeah. Uh huh. And not only the pistols, but like how they're used in that yeah. movie is like is so cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very unrealistic, but badass. And like the rest of the movie, like they really mailed in the rest of it. But
oh, yeah.
Goddamn, those guns and the way that they used them in that movie was so cool.
No, 100%. That influenced a lot of gun-fu in movies, right down to and including John Wick, right? Like that movie was mm-hmm. really influential for a lot of that. And they have such, like you posted a picture in our chat, and it's just like you can see those from a mile away and know exactly where they came from, and that's what's awesome about them.
Yeah, yeah, I can do that now. I don't know like if I could do that in the early 2000s, like when this movie was out. But yeah, it's a Brennan yeah. 92 with a different piece on it.
I need to get a couple of those milled. I got to poke my machinist, buddy. Yeah, that'd be a fun thing to rebuild.
Yeah, yeah, they look really cool.
Okay.
Oh, I'll throw a weird one at you.
Please do.
The white M14 from Rogue Spear. So far.
You like cool. it because it's white.
Yeah. And like yeah. that kind of influenced my paint schemes on some firearms
yep.
afterwards. So
yep.
I showed you guys a couple. I had an AR, a completely white AR. That's actually where this forend is from, is my white Ooh. AR. And I had one of the first rifles I bought was an SKS, and I painted it white. Just to do that snow camo thing, right? For where I hunt, it's almost practical because a lot of the times I'm hunting in a snowdrift. So a white rifle is a lot more camo than a black rifle is.
No, that makes sense. And, do you have a shotgun pick? No iconic movie or TV shotguns? Really?
No, I don't really care about shotguns that much.
Every time I hear you say something like that. That is not the first time you've poo-pooed shotguns, but it's hurtful. I love shotguns.
Okay, I got a shotgun for you. The suppressed one in No Country for Old Man.
I figured somebody was going to drop that one for sure. Iconic.
Yeah. And yeah, kind of a cool, also unrealistic, but a cool addition to it.
Nobody had seen that before, though. Like that, when that popped mm-hmm. in that movie, it was the first time anybody'd really seen suppressed shotgun. Such a, you know, again, it's a character piece. It's like really intense. Like that, I'm sorry, I'm going to nerd out for a minute. Everybody, just brace yourself. I think little hand prop details can really accentuate scenes. I think attention to detail in weird, new, and interesting ways can be really important. And that did that. It had this element of homemadeness to it. a uniqueness that no one had ever seen, especially within like the setting. And it set off a whole like chain of events after that movie came off. Everybody was curious. Can we suppress shotguns? Is this a thing that can be done? It was really cool. That's great. That's a great pick. Thank you.
And it did look homemade. Like if you look the gun IMDb humongous can on that.
Oh wow, soda can.
Yeah.
I don't think the fireball is supposed to be that big after suppression, but okay.
Yeah. No, that's pretty cool.
That's great picks. Okay, what about you, Kelly? Got any picks?
Okay, so this one really isn't okay. So when we think about guns and we think about where they start from, and one that you always actually want and you can relate to is A Christmas Story and the Red Ryder.
Yes.
We don't even have that in China.
But everybody identifies with it, and everybody as a child always wanted one, right? And then it's like, but then you get into the movie, and of course along with that comes your pink bunny suit, right? So of course
you'll shoot your eye out.
Ralphie, you'll shoot your eye out. And then the mother saying that I am so much like her, I don't know. But when we think about guns and we think about it, the iconic movies, when we go back to them, there's a few movies that we always relate back to, and it's all, everything relates back to Christmas. So uh-huh. Die Hard, that is always the correct answer. Always the correct answer. So when you're talking about which your favorite firearm, you got the Beretta 92F, which obviously, right, that's what, Bruce Willis was shooting, and then Hans Gruber, he was shooting the H&K P7. So like those are like the guns that you know, especially when you start going through the whole Die Hard series and the evolution of that and that, but those are the iconic guns when you really think about it. And then I start thinking about those other things. I watch movies, and we're all people who are gun weirdos, and then we start, and I look at the guns and I'm going, oh yeah, okay, and you recognize the gun, but then I start looking at the technique, or and that ruins the whole movie for me, right?
Decupping and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I can't watch Quantico at all. I'm sorry, I just can't.
That's crossing the thumbs behind the slide. Oh, no. Like, oh, I hope that slide doesn't reciprocate.
But those, yeah, so that when you're talking about iconic for me or the movies that, yeah. And I don't play video games, so.
Do you have any iconic rifle or shotguns? Yes, no?
No, not really. When you think about it again.
Can I add on another handgun?
Yeah. Yes,
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Oh.
Well, yeah. Your gun says replica on the side.
Mine says Desert Eagle 0.50.
That's a favorite movie of mine too.
I briefly owned a Desert Eagle, and it is in no small part due to that. Just it's a stupid gun, but just once you want to be able to say, mine says Desert Eagle 0.50. That's great. Well, all right, that's fair. Oh, what did Kyle say? Pretty much any gun from Boondock Saints, especially the Deagles. Come on, Kyle. The Deagles, that is such an impractical gun. And I don't know. I say, as I've definitely put those guns in one of my movies, I got to shoot Deadpool's guns. So I've shot those Deagles. Those Deagles have been shot by these hands. There's video somewhere. Okay. Yeah. I would have probably, like, if I had been thinking about it, worn something different than I did when I don't show that video because I was, like, at work. But I have shot those guns. They're fun. But, like, I can't think of a gun I'd like to get into a gunfight less with as far as semi-auto pistols are concerned. Like
TT-33 Tokarevs?
Okay, yeah.
I'd rather have the Eagle.
I would, too. That's fair.
Made in the USA! Yes, correct.
They are iconic.
It's funny because I mentioned maybe on a show, maybe on an email, that I convinced one of my friends in Michigan to finally get his concealed pistol license. And the, is it the second or the third pistol he bought was a Deagle. He thought about it for so long. It's like, okay, you want it, so buy the one that you want the most, so to speak. Like, but currently, just as a data point, from Magnum Research themselves, the chrome or the gold Deagle is on a wait list for about 4 years.
That's silly. Just get one made.
Why?
So we have to talk about Mike here. Mike, thank you. This is one of those things. If anybody's never seen the 90s Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio, it's like a 16-year-old Romeo. It's a wild movie. I love weird movies that get made like this, and all of the guns, like, all had like this intricate like rapier and 9mm sword, and there was this just element because like the guns were playing the swords or knives or, you know, daggers. And again, it's one of those really beautiful attention to details that folks like me obsess over. And the movie hasn't aged well in any way, but that's great.
When he puts the red dot on and he shoots that guy in the car driving away at like, I don't know, he's like 50 yards by then. He's like, no problem. Boom.
Anybody make that shot. Easy peasy. Fair. Any others for you, Tony? Be prepared. I've got a couple, so...
Okay, it's time
probably have a bunch of good ones.
I'll probably have some bad ones because it's time for Tony's story time. There isn't a lot of gunplay in Chinese cinematography, I want to say.
Makes sense.
At that point, you can't really have them. So, yeah. And early on, I wasn't really introduced to imported movies. So one of the movies I just found, they actually have a English name for it, which is called Liang Jian, or Drawing the Sword. It's a TV series talking about the kind of late Sino-Japanese World War II thing, and then the Chinese Civil War. So a lot of Type 38 Arisakas, the Japanese machine gun that I only know about its Chinese nickname. It feeds from stripper five-round Arisaka stripper clips. It's like a whole thing.
Oh, that thing's so cool. It's such a weird gun.
It's such a weird thing. It's done for a purpose. Like, it's like the US saying, hey, we want to have a light machine gun, but I have to feed from A rounds grand MBOK clips. Like, that's a requirement. So it's kind of like that. So not a lot of guns really caught my eyes. I was younger at that time. I wasn't really interested in it. After that, when I was starting in like mid elementary school, going to junior high, video games kind of become more popular. So most of my gun impressions are from video games. And one of the first guns that I loved is the 1911, which is very strange because at the time the game we played is kind of a derivative of Counter-Strike, Crossfire. It's not very popular in North America. It was a great success in China. And for some reason, the 1911 is only available in a dual-wielding configuration, just called a dual Colt. That's what's called. And somehow I was just in love with that shape of that gun. It looks very slender comparing to the plastic guns, but more proportionally correct than a Deagle, which... at the time, lots of my classmates would be lusting over the Deagle. It's like, doesn't seem like very usable. After that, I don't really have a favorite rifle or shotgun at the time. I'm very much a meta player. So whatever gun is the strongest in the game is whatever I use.
Okay.
So after getting more into the gaming scene in the Western world, after I moved here since high school, I have to pull out my battle log for Battlefield 4. And I was looking through the catalogs. The pistol that was still favored by me was still the 1911. Very much so, still the most amount of service data on that compared to all the other pistols. Unlike me, one of my other friend, not the one in Michigan, but another Chinese friend I have, he very much favored the Deagle. Despite that being a 44 Deagle, he still used that thing in every single class he had. still, I didn't really have a favorite rifle per se. I was very much a good patriotic boy at the time, so I used the Type 98, the Type 95 a lot, which is kind of terrible, but kind of cool in a sense. It's a Chinese unique 5.8 millimeter cartridge. Still don't have a favorite shotgun, really. At that time, I already know very much about the Benelli. Benelli M4, the 1014 in the military terms. So that's kind of in my mind, but it's not really my favorite per se.
Do you have a Type 97?
I do not. I do not.
You could have the QBZ95 in a
version. It's the wrong caliber. The magazine looks wrong.
Close enough.
It's not made in the USA. I don't know. I just prefer made in NATO nowadays. It's weird. Anyway, yeah, I thought about it actually when I was getting more into the semi-auto scenes. But nowadays, they don't seem to be that available anymore. For some reason, for a Type 97, I want a flat top. I don't want a carry handle. But for a Type 95, you kind of have to have the carry handle. It kind of retains the look. I don't know. Maybe it's just the magazine messing with me. I've only really developed a liking to a rifle and a shotgun because of the history in Battlefield 1, where I actually fall in love with the Ross rifle, Canadian made, very interesting, a great Canadian history piece, so to speak. The Empire won't provide us a rifle, so we'll make our own. And it's a straight pull rifle, pretty interesting gun. An entrepreneur was the name Ross made that. Apparently very accurate, very expensive to find. Can't find one. I want one. And if they can reman one, I'll be interested. The shotgun that I was more interested in was the Browning Auto 5. You can see I have a tendency to like old guns made by Browning, which is very strange. But yeah, it's also very interesting. Great history. I think it looks better than the trench sweeper, because it doesn't have the bolt coming to smack you in the hand. It just seems more usable. Also, you don't have to, I don't know, operate it. I don't know. Save you some time. Save you some hard work. And also a long recoil system, not very commonly seen these days, where the barrel actually moves. I didn't know that to start, but that's quite interesting. So yeah, that's kind of my whole love hate journey about firearms in any kind of a digital production. Not a lot in TVs, not a lot in movies. I watched the John Wick series. I don't really like, I don't develop a crush on a weapon that much. Fortunately, the 1911 fits my hand really well, so that'll be on the list for after the ban. We'll see about that.
Dustin, you muted Dustin.
Oh no.
Sorry, it's now, interesting hearing your like a very different take based on like a different influx of media. Hey,
yeah.
I also just have to draw a couple of honorable mentions here. Somebody mentioned Dirty Harry's Smith & Wesson Model 29. That is a classic.
Yeah,
that is a classic. Appreciate it. Also, the Sharps from Quigley Down Under. Kyle, thank you. I have a buddy that has one.
Really? That'd be cool.
Yeah, I've got a buddy that collects like exclusively old rifles and stuff.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Bananas. That one's really neat. He came over for one of our gun poker nights a couple months ago and just brought some guns. And that one was like in the workshop when I came home. And I was like, this is cool. And then so somebody, Mike mentioned Ryan Reynolds' Sundog pistol from Blade 3. Cool fun fact about Blade 3, because it was filmed in Vancouver here. Mm-hmm. They made his cool Blade's cool like machine gun pistols. They replicated them in case they needed them for Blade 3 and then never got used. There's two of them sitting at the armory that I have in fact played with that have never made it.
But that's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Everybody ready for my little,
you gotta tell us why we're wrong.
Can I give one more caveat? You asked me of rifles, right? Yeah. And yeah. I'm an idiot, right?
What'd you forget? Oh, yes.
I saw it was going to be the Wildcat.
Christmas movie. When I think Christmas,
in Dire.
You're right. Die Hard, that is a classic.
It was used in
Yes.
Hard. And I'm looking at myself and I'm seeing me and I'm going, I'm talking about Die Hard.
And the one that in the picture is white too, so there's obviously the crossover between you and Andrew there, so that's like, that's extra classic. That one actually infuriates me that that's not legal in Canada. Right. Yeah, I had an opportunity to buy one of those a couple of years ago, but long story. Anyway, none of you are wrong. This is a subjective thing. I think all of those are really wonderful, excellent, and I appreciate them all. If y'all want to hear mine, so yes. I'll start with a couple of pistols. One of my favorites, just because I'm a giant nerd, is Mal's sidearm from Firefly. And this was actually one of those things that motivated me originally to start pursuing, you know, the whole firearms business, license, armor thing. Like, I was a props guy and I like collecting props. I've got a bunch of them back there. And I really wanted to make a functional Mal's pistol because I knew how they made it. But the gun that actually exists inside it, because with a lot of prop guns, especially like a lot of prop sci-fi guns, are actually built over very small frame revolvers, because up until, you know, the last 10 years, when you wanted something to still fire and you wanted, you know, to still get some muzzle flash or give the actor some kind of a physical action, you built it onto a revolver. So you had something that you could load and, you know, make safe and still, you know, shoot for camera. So that gun's built off of a Taurus 85, if I'm correct, I think, which is like, Taurus, thank you. Taurus 85. And, that is a prohibited revolver in Canada. Well, one day I'll probably own one, cause I would love to build myself my own Firefly replica pistol. And it's just, it was cool, iconic. I loved that show a whole bunch. I grew up in the prairies, so, you know, a kind of cowboy western sci-fi space opera really, really hit all the boxes for me. So that's one of my favorite pistols. Not my favorite pistol. My favorite pistol is coming up last. So I will touch on two rifles that I think are huge and important, and can't believe nobody mentioned one of them. The M41A pulse rifle from Aliens, I think, is an epic, like, film, TV, iconic prop. Again, there is one floating around that I've got pictures of, which is really cool, built on a Thompson frame. But, like, if you think of, Tony, if you've never watched Aliens, you should. It's a great movie. But built on a Thompson, like, but you think about that movie and you think about them shooting and the ammo counter going down. They put an ammo counter on that gun in like early 80s. Was it early 80s, late 70s? I forget when that one came out. I think that was early 80s. But anyway, that was 80s. Super cool. Yeah. Had like a 100 round magazine or something like that. I mean, not explaining where the bullets were. And then like an underbarrel little grenade launcher that was like actually an underbarrel little 2-round pump action shotgun. Just a super cool, iconic, you know, piece of, you know, movie memorabilia. And, I absolutely adore that as far as like a film rifle. The other film rifle that I just like personally love a lot, and again, maybe because I've gotten to play with it a little bit, is, I don't know if it ever had a name in the movie, but it is a Spectre M4, from iRobot. It was the little like compact machine gun that Will Smith had in that movie. And, it's just a neat little submachine gun. And, they dressed it up, made it look really cool. I want one. I still want one. It's just it's a neat gun. Thank you for sharing this. This is great. You watch that movie and you're just like, oh, that's a cool little compact machine gun. I'm like, oh, you too could own one if you
had an armorer's license.
Yeah. It's sad that, honestly, it's sad that you can't like just semi-auto those, because that would be a cool thing for folks to own. So those are two sci-fi-y guns that really like check a lot of boxes for me as a props guy, because they're different. They're built on real guns. They have some functionality. They have some visual appeal to them, and they all kind of had some intent. As far as shotguns go, my first one is actually going to be the Gold Street Sweeper from Constantine. Super, super cool. Loved that shotgun in that like the scene where he's fighting all the demons with the thing. It's absolutely wild and ridiculous. It was a kind of a ground up build. If you know anything about the like story behind production getting, they got, I think, two of them built, but hilariously couldn't own them, which is a common thing. You know, productions will get guns built, but then they can't own them after, which is how a lot of these end up in armories. And but that one, apparently, every piece that wasn't part of the, like, every piece that they could own, they took after the movie was done. But the actual frames are a Street Sweeper 12 gauge, which is, I think, a destructive device in the U.S. So they're even like more challenging to hold, to handle.
I saw there was there's something about it that makes it a DD.
It's a short barrel drum fed shotgun that anybody can use. They're neat. They're a lot of fun. Again, I've gotten to play with a couple, just like bone stock, you know, Street Sweeper, Striker. I can't remember what they're called, but they're really, really cool shotgun. But it was just, again, it's an iconic movie gun. You know, they put the gold cross on it. It's a cool prop. And the scene where it plays, it's a good scene. My other pick for iconic film and movie shotguns is the SPAS 12 from Jurassic Park. We can debate all day long how bad a shotgun it is. It's bad at being a shotgun. It's not good at being a semi-auto shotgun. And it doesn't love being a pump action shotgun sometimes, but it's such a classic. It's got such an iconic look to it just by itself.
The folding stock. Yep.
Looks
wild.
I would love for somebody to come out with a kit to like just gussy up like a bone stock, like you know, Mossberg 500 or something like that. I think you could probably make something. It pisses me off that gun is prohibited in Canada. It's so upsetting. This movie and Terminator, because it was also, that's the movie that Sarah Connor's like single shot pumping and shooting it was in the second Terminator, T2. But that's a classic movie shotgun. Looks great every time you see someone break it out, even though it's not really a good shotgun. And finally, my very favorite movie and TV pistol. It's my favorite pistol. It's my Jericho 941, but specifically this Jericho 941. It's from Cowboy Bebop. Oh, sorry.
No. You have the grips?
Yes.
You have the grips for it? Yeah, you got the grips for it.
I have the grips. But what's really special about this one, Andrew, is this is from the exact same run as the gun that they modeled Spike's gun off of. So his serial number, I think, is 40. What was it? His is like 42 something. My serial number is 4130 something. Just keep everybody guessing. But I have done it up exactly like his. So anybody that doesn't know, the Jericho 941 for 1 year was made to shoot two calibers, the 9mm and the now very, very defunct 41 Action Express, which is like a necked up 9mm. The idea being that the Israeli like special defense guys could train with 9mm, and just by doing a barrel swap and a magazine swap, but keeping the rest of the parts of the gun, could go out on deployment with a peppier round. And so for 1 year, they put out this cool case that had two sets of barrels, two guide rods, two springs, two sets of magazines, so you could swap it all out really, really quickly and easily. And anybody that's a giant nerd for Bebop knows that Spike's Jericho has a silver guide rod, just like this one. That is the 41 Action Express guide rod and spring. He's done that for the reduced recoil. You can only get that in that kit. And several years ago, found a guy selling one in Canada, had no idea what he had. I didn't tell him, so I got a good deal on it. And yeah, it spun me down a saga. And then when I like got it home and I went and like just looked up the serial number and I looked at the serial number of the one that they had modeled, I'm like, oh, I have one that was like right next to Spike's gun. Oh. So the weeb in me really, really loves this thing. And a few years ago, I managed to track down like 800 rounds of 41 Action Express. Yeah, it tries to send those cases back to Israel. But it's a cool thing to have. So that's my very, very favorite pistol. It always will be. This is like the one that I will, no matter where I go, it's coming. I'll put the effort in.
Keep that brass. Keep that brass.
Yeah. You have no idea how hard it is to find that brass after. I only shoot a couple of rounds, like once in a while. It's like a treat. Once a year, I'll go out and shoot it. But I have a hard time shooting it because I'm spending most of my time looking where the stinking brass went, because it's a mix of 40 and 9. So you're just like, you're running around on the ground looking like you're on the downtown east side picking up cigarette butts. You're like, oh no, that's 9 mil. No, that's 40. No, that's 9 mil. No, that's, oh, I found one. And invariably, you know, you maybe come home with 80% of the brass you went there with. Yeah.
Just to nerd out for the listeners here, the 41 Action Express was phased out and designated as inactive by SAMI in 2005. So it is very hard to find. Just
the boxes I have are older than I am.
I believe it. It's it's very much given its way to 40 Smith & Wesson 10 millimeter, which 40 Smith & Wesson at this point is like half dead in the water too. So yeah, it's like a dead version of a half dead thing.
It's a cool round to look at. But yeah, I looked up a couple years ago. It was just like, oh, what is this ammo worth? And like, depending on the site stateside, like $5 a round. Like,
yeah, pretty expensive. You know, that story is kind of interesting. So you watch Cowboy Bebop as a kid and you grow up and you get the gun that he had. And if you look at, if you go into rural areas and you find like old farmers and that kind of thing, a lot of them will have a chromed out 22 revolver. It's single action army style, like like hi-ho silver away. Yeah. They got Lone Ranger guns, all these old farmers. If you're going to find a handgun out there, that's what you're going to find. A chromed up. It won't be like a proper center fire. It'll be a rim fire because they probably gave it to the kids. They probably like, oh, you want the Lone Ranger one? Yeah, okay, I'll just buy you one of those. It predates like the registration, that kind of thing. So
yeah,
you find a lot of those because that's what they grew up watching, that kind of show and, you know, those cowboy movies and that kind of thing. And that's what they wanted.
It's so funny you say that, because I'm like, I'm picturing where a couple are that I am. You're 100% right.
I think it's interesting also when you ask the question, all the different answers each one of us gave, right? How you are very much from the sci-fi perspective and where Tony was, you know, based on video games. And I'm older than the tree, so I'm looking...
Yeah, those muzzle loaders. Yeah, those are just pining for the days.
Yep.
Good old flintlock. Don't need any more. Brown Bess, that's what I'm talking about. 76 Ooh. Caliber, I'll put them down.
Patriot, the Patriot. We should have
go ahead. I want a blunderbuss. I know that's stupid, but I want one. Like,
So have you tried looking for them? Because there's a company in the States that sells them as non-firing things that you can make firing things and then verify here.
Interesting.
I've seen those. I haven't seen otherwise. I haven't seen any blunderbusses for sale whatsoever.
I went hunting a couple of years ago. Like obviously like the last couple of years, just like film has not been great. So I haven't had the same disposable income I did for most of my 20s where I was like, oh, new gun every week. But, for a while that was my life. But, yeah, I went hunting a couple years ago and came up short, but that's interesting. That's worth exploring. I only have one lock gun, like one muzzle loading lock gun, and it's from the old country. It was a gift from my partner's mom as a welcome to the family. It was like somebody from their family had brought it over from Germany. It's been in the family 150 cool. years, and I'm the only gun guy that they know. And they're like, just feels right to give this to you. So, and it's neat. It's still functional. The only thing I've fired out of it is a bottle rocket at Halloween, but yeah. And so it's great. I'll show you the video of it. It's hilarious. Somebody also put the Pirates of the Caribbean, like was playing Pirates of the Caribbean music under the phone that was recording me doing this stupid thing. We actually had a fireworks permit that night though. So it was completely legal, but yeah, that's the only thing that I've ever fired out of it.
Huh.
Anyway, yeah. Thank you for indulging me. I was very curious.
Mike mentioned that traditions did make a DIY blunderbuss kit. Adriel, you still have your traditions homemade rifle, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess but maybe they don't anymore.
Did and do are two different things.
I'm super paranoid about like trusting myself to load a muzzle loader and not blow myself up with it. That's the other thing. Like conventional ammunition is just so easy to use.
It needs like a 90 degree ramrod. So I have a T on the end so you can like clear your hand up the muzzle when you're loading.
Yeah. Yeah, especially with something like that.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else to talk about for favorite TV movie game guns? I guess if you're listening right now, email yours in and we'll read it next week because I'm sure we forgot about some really interesting ones out there. All right, let's get into listener feedback. Live interactions, we've kind of been doing those as we go along. Emails. This isn't a real email. This is a conversation I had with someone, and they're like, hey, you should ask Slamfire listeners this. And I thought it'd be interesting to have it done in Zoomer speak. So this is from Tom. He says, yo, Slamfire squad. So I've been eyeing that T3X GRS Bifrost that's on sale, and the price is fire, but I'm not really vibing with the 6.5 Creedmoor. I'm a 6.5 Swede coated instead. What do y'all think? Should I roll the Swede or the Creedmoor?
I think I just got all zoomed. 6.5. Personally, I hate 6.5 Creedmoor just because it doesn't achieve anything more, in my opinion, in my use cases, than the 308. But ammo prices go up. Also, I have a set of dice.
Ammo price is the same. The ammo price is the same these days.
I have a set of dice for CO8. I don't have that for 6.5. So I don't know. Hit
probability at 1,000 yards goes up.
I don't shoot at things at 1,000 yards. I need 60x at 25 yards. So at 1,000 yards, I need freaking 600x magnification. That just makes sense. But 6.5 Creedmoor, super popular. It's going to be easier to find than 6.5 Swede.
Right.
The bullets will be the same. So you'll be able to use the bullets between them.
You can probably use VLD bullets more effectively as well.
I'd definitely roll with the 6.5 Creedmoor for sure. Personally, that would keep it 100, as the kids say.
But I don't even know how to do Zoomer speak. Oh my God.
I've got both. I've got Creedmoor and Swede. I got them both.
But you're like a collector of sorts. Look at your background.
But I'm going to use it. Like, okay, so the 6.5 Swede is what I'm going to use this year. That's something new. So I'm going to use that. But I don't consider it to be any different than the 6.5 Creedmoor. They do the same thing.
I got a buddy that built an AR down in Washington in 6.5 right before their bans happened. And it's like right before. That was what motivated it. Like, oh, next Tuesday, this will be illegal, so let's do her now. It's a nice gun.
Dustin, that's what I built before I had an AR-10 in 6.5 Creedmoor. I didn't get to fire. I just finished assembling it. And they're like, they're all prohib.
Yeah.
Still have the barrel. Still have all the stuff.
Yeah. Sorry. You can't have nice things.
Painful memories.
Right.
Don't want to talk about it.
So Slamfire listeners, 6.5 Creedmoor, 6.5 Swede. If you had to, so that T3X Bifrox, that's what he's looking at that rifle. He likes it. Should he get it in Creedmoor or hold out for the Swede?
Will they ever make one in 6.5? I think that's not even a question at this point.
Because Tika's European
and they will make stuff in European calibers at 6.5 by 55 is a popular European.
That's like saying I want a Tika T3X in 6.5 by 54 Mannlicher Schellenhauer. I would not do
that. Well, they'll make it. They make Tikas in 6.5 by Swedish 6.5 by 55. I just forgot it. Anyways, they make those. It's absolutely something they make. They might even do 7mm Mauser. Anywho, yeah, they make those. Let's see, the T3X Hunter. Yeah, the very first one, if you load up the page, it's a 6.5 by 55 Swedish.
It's a little crazy to me, but yeah, maybe that's what it is.
6.5 by 55, 270, 300 Win Mag, 6.5 Creedmoor. They make them both, 6.5 Creedmoor and Swede.
I think, like, for myself, the thing that pushes me into the Creedmoor is just that has gone from being a hipster cartridge to accepted in the community, and I feel it would be just a little bit easier to find.
And Kyle voted America, for the Swede because he likes less common calibers.
Yeah, okay. Well, nobody likes a contrarian, Kyle. You want to talk beyond the show.
Correct.
He forfeited his ball, but here's the thing. This is very much in my gun buying traditions. I like weird guns, like a freaking pump action AR. Has to be in 223. Has to be a NATO caliber. No other way about it. There is one offered in 300 blackout. In hindsight, maybe I should have went for that because that's Alberta hunting legal.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
But to me, this is more of a sporting. Yeah, I know, sporting gun. So maybe I'll build a 300.
It's sporting.
Very sporting.
I'm not gonna freaking shoot a rifle match with a 300 blackout. Maybe you could.
Oh, for hunting.
That would be a lot of loading, though. Deer. You'll be on the loading bench for days.
No, I'm gonna shoot a deer. I'm gonna shoot a deer with the face, or maybe I'll shoot a deer in the face with this
thing. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Minimum viable. This is Alberta law. It's just bullet have to be big. Doesn't care about a powder charge. It's like you can load a squib and shoot it. It's fine. Mike also mentioned Troy had a PR in 338 Federal. Yeah, they have a large based one for 308. I thought about it. I was like, do I really need two pump action ARs? I don't think so. So I'm looking at my prime pick right now is actually the Savage Impulse, which is a little expensive, but that's kind of interesting of a gun. It's a straight pullable action. Takes some models, which I will, if I ever get one, will be. I will take AICS magazine, so.
Cool.
So now I know Tony's going to do the YouTube things, but somebody asked a question on the last episode, and I wasn't here, but I did hear the question.
You did?
Somebody asked about the business license. Right. Yes, my business license has all of the features unlocked delightfully, including the full auto. But they make it as hard as possible to enjoy that in any capacity whatsoever. Yep. So to shoot like fully functional live full auto out of it, it has to be at a range that is certified for the discharge of prohibited firearms. Went through this a couple of years ago. And that's a giant pain in the butt to find. I live in BC, so I can't just go buy some rural property and have magic wand waved and have it certified because I'm not a multimillionaire. If anybody wants to donate a couple million dollars to make
you're good.
Me,
yeah.
I'm here. We'll make it happen. But yeah, that's the crux of it. So yeah, you can have all the fun toys, just can't play with them, which is why I don't own most of the fun toys. Like I have the license that I can possess those things, but there's additional business storage regulations and those get expensive and tedious, and without the added benefit of being able to play with the things, it's just easier for me to rent them from somebody
who does own them. I think you talked about that when you were on the show talking about your licensing.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
so.
You did.
That's an idea for a future show, firearms business licensing.
That would be a cool topic.
Because there's range rentals. There's, what if you just buy and sell a lot of them? Like start a gun shop.
Yep. Verifiers. They're all different too, right?
Verifier. Like, mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, we should do that one.
It's a good idea.
Do you know what is the closest prohib range near you?
Yep, I do. There's a Department of Defense range. We've shot there before.
Okay, so it's not like Abbotsford, Chilliwack.
It's further. It's a pain in the butt. It's a huge pain in the butt. Yeah, a long story again. I'll tell you off camera. It was a whole thing. It was like weeks of back and forth with the CFO and the business. It was lots.
And the transport requirement must be a lot, I'm thinking.
I'll tell you about that too. Anyway. Yeah.
All right, on to YouTube comments, because I'm not writing YouTube comments nowadays. Well, I still do. So now I'm reading them. The first, there's only me and Eddie, really. Eddie, on episode 567, Tony Foyer restricted just by a short-barreled Raven. We already knew it has an FRT for it. And I replied saying the FX9 does have an FRT as well. I don't really need the MB functions except the safety, which for AR-style guns, like this guy, I put safety off on my thumb. And I retract my index to put the safety back on. So that's how I do it. So for me, MB safety is a little bit more suitable. But my gun doesn't fall. So I'm looking at, I'm somewhere in the market for a 8-inch or slightly less optimal 10-inch FX9. And in my opinion, I've contacted Freedom Ordnance Support before. They're really responsive, so that's good too. And it has been on the market for longer. So in my opinion, a little bit more proven. Although we know for a fact the Raven 9 can win a national title. Eddie says, Kelly, are you going to be hunting from the hot tub again?
You know what? It is the best hunting camp out there.
I would encourage you to have a Marine Corps finish so that your gun does not rust.
Thank you.
Hard to call it hunting, too. And right? A hunting camp. Hard to call it a hunting camp.
It's a hunting house.
You know what? For 2 weeks out of the year, it is the hunting camp. Other times, it's the Kincaid Wrench.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly. Eddie also mentions, yay, your Cavella affiliate link is back up. Time to buy some more stuff. However, under the support the show page, the text link for Cavella's does not seem to work, but the logo link seems to. Did Adriel use the link when he bought his large rifle primer last week?
You know, if I was smart, I'd think about that kind of thing.
But he got lazy. Okay, we got the answer. And then two comments from myself, because I was listening back in time. Episode 415, Range Etiquette. I mentioned two things. First, I only got properly burnt by brass once. So we're talking about hot brass ejecting to the side, maple seed, for example. And there was actually during my maple seed, and my own brass, when I'm supporting the rifle like this, landed right between my fingers. Very thin skins over there, and burned me quite well. Since rimfire powders have often very high burn rates, they're actually quite hot. For my handload 223s, the brass are barely warm when they're ejected, so that's something to consider. And another thing is, we're mentioning about different range rules for each ranges. Some wants you have muzzle up, some says muzzle down. Yeah. It's like, I respect everything each range does, but some things I understand, but my brain refused to do. For example, I refuse to rest an open shotgun on my toes. And I know a lot of pro shotgunners does that. One of the Steel Challenge grandmasters at my club is a master shotgun shooter. And his shoe has a little tubular holder thing.
Yeah.
So I asked what that is for, and it's like, that's for resting the barrel on your shoe so it doesn't slip off of your shoe. Like, I get it, and I see a lot of people doing it. They sell like leather flaps for your shoe to rest your barrel on as well, but I just refuse to do that. It's a little, for my brain, it's like, I know it's safe, but I can never be too safe, so pointing away from me is probably safer than safe. Things like that. And yeah, that's it for our YouTube comments. Did anything happen on Discord?
There's a few things have been happening on there. Yeah.
Yeah, we sent out a few pictures. We have a few new guys coming on. And in the new gun stuff section, I've also posted my field interview. No, not interview. The field reporting of the stray shooter indoor range and their posters and things regarding your quote-unquote not purchasing a handgun.
And I've now updated the Support This Show page with a gigantic image link to Cabela's.
Awesome.
Okay. Facebook reviews, comments. Yeah, we talked about those. Instagram, I don't think we saw anything over there. What people bought from our Cabela's and Gun or Brownells link. We talked about that fairly recently here. So we'll do that again at the start of a new month. If you'd like to email the show, send an email to signfireradio@gmail.com. Shout outs.
Sure.
I guess I got a shout out to Taylor and his significant other for doing a great job at IPSC Nationals, and one to Amanda for she got top lady in production. So well done. Burdat, he got top in production, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He's another person who's been on the show.
Kelly,
what about you?
I do have a shout out. I have a shout out to one of our friends, Joel. He's a listener of the show, but he's also somebody that's come out to Maple Seeds and helped out when we were up in Meaford or Collingwood. But he's also a really, really good guy, and he's going to help us out this weekend with a lot of really cool things that's going to take place up in Collingwood/Meaford for the calendar shoot. So I'm really excited about all the things that we're going to be doing this weekend. Cool. And no, by the way, it's supposed to rain both days and pour.
Kelly, I've never had to stop or pause a maple seed due to weather.
I've had.
You can't say the same thing.
I've had to stop, pause weather for 3 tornadoes.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because when I visited Edmonton, everywhere is so concerned about tornadoes. There's like air horns everywhere. It's like, what's the last time you had it? It's like in the 80s or something.
1987.
No. Yep. We have at least one tornado a year, but I've had 3 tornadoes where it's specifically where we were and there was a touchdown. I had a dress show. We had to stop that because it was totally. Yeah, it was destructive. There was buildings that were right beside us that no longer existed. There was, it was bad. We've had several, and I mean several hurricanes that came through and with lightning as well. So I don't care about rain. It's the lightning. We can't be holding rifles and there being lightning. So we have to pause up. Yeah.
We don't do that for these maple seeds.
Yeah. Well,
Tony, what about you? Any shoutouts?
I mean, you know what I meant. Have you ever had lightning?
Not
during a maple seed?
No.
Oh. It's always just bloody sunny.
What's wrong with us? It's
beautiful. The sun's shining. Might be a little bit hot.
Freaking everyone's cooking.
Any shoutouts?
Yep. I have 2 shoutouts for the steel challenge and 1 recommendation. So shout out to Steve for giving me the loaner. I'll be loaning his very fancy Alpha Foxtrot 1911 too. And I forgot which revolver he has, but he's already Club 13, so I'm going to steal all his stuff. And Chris for match directing. BTSA Steel Challenge has kind of went into this everyone who is more involved becomes a match director kind of thing. So just in case someone is available, now we can have a rotation. Just like hosting in Slamfire Radio. And I have a recommendation for one of my new favorite YouTube channels, The Humble Marksman, and his evil twin, The Arrogant Marksman, I believe is what it's called. It's more of a short-based channel. And he posted a video about the Deadpool's, I think that's the recent movie, right? Deadpool's 50 AE Desert Eagle, and he shot it at a USPSA match. So he's going to have a full video for that soon, and I think it's going to be pretty entertaining. So stay tuned for that. I'll post the existing link to that on Discord.
I have to ask, do you not watch any movies?
I never really got into movie watching, so I don't watch a lot of movies. To be very frank,
Dustin.
I know. I'm sorry. Dustin, give me a list of all the movies you are a part of, and I'm going to watch them all, okay?
No, like Don't do that.
The movie that has the most gunplay and is either the John Wick series, which I watched pretty recent, like after the pandemic, or it's Saving Private Ryan. So I don't watch a ton of things, really.
Tony, we can outsource this. What streaming services do you have? Do you have Netflix?
That's the problem. I don't.
Oh, geez.
I don't watch movies.
Do you have Amazon Prime?
I don't.
Okay.
Do you have OnlyFans?
No Disney. You definitely don't have Disney.
No. I don't have. Host everything myself if I could.
He doesn't watch.
I don't want to touch these things.
I was going to evil corporate this and just get some feedback from everyone else. Hey, you know, recommend some gun movies on Netflix for Tony or something like that. But it looks like
if they recommend it, I'm going to sign up. I'm going to watch it. So
you know what we really should
recommend away.
We should do a GoFundMe page for Prime and Netflix for Tony. Yeah.
Well, Tony, you could write off like a Netflix subscription as like a tax deductible, like research expense. Cause as long as you're watching gun movies,
yeah,
I get to write off all of my movies. I save every movie ticket and I write them off.
That is very funny. It's not the money thing. It's just like I'm either at the range, at work, at home, eating, sleeping, or reloading ammo. Like my life is very monotone. Now I have one more duty to come onto Slamfire, which is great because otherwise I'll be watching Slamfire. See? Right, my life is very simple. Yeah. Writing emails.
You still last make minute. Comments.
Yeah, still
to
do.
Eddie.
I have two shout outs I want to make, but I also have just a very quick, because a movie that I made a couple years ago just came out. It's called The Inheritance Now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Name changer.
Yeah, name change. Formerly known as The Last Will and Testament of Charles Abernathy. I guess they thought that was too wordy.
Too long.
Yeah. They named it the same thing as like eight other movies. So good luck finding it. But it is out. And again, there's a lever gun in it. Two rounds. Whole movie, you only get two rounds out of that gun. The director promised me, was on set. We fought about this. It was like, okay, you can only rack that two times. There are only two bullets in the gun. You can only do the full action two times. Okay, you didn't know what I promised. Just the two times. Once here and the once here, because they're different scenes. And they racked it three times.
They did it more.
Watch the movie and just like, ah! So it's not my fault. Not my fault.
Did they CGI the flames or...?
No.
It didn't came, like, there's no shell ejecting. Like, what's the problem with it, per se?
Well, it's just because there was two rounds and they pumped, they did the lever three times over the course of it, because it's cool. Because in the words of, Sutherland, not Donald, the other one.
Kiefer
Sutherland, because that sound is scary. So that's a phone booth reference that you won't get. I'm sorry, Tony, you should watch that movie. Everybody else should also have seen that movie. Anyway, my two shout outs real quick. One is to my buddy Seiko. You're awesome. And I'll know if you haven't watched this because you'll have to tell me that you heard me give you a shout out at the end. And my other shout out to Trevor. I know you're somewhere lurking, listening, commenting once in a while. Maybe you should come back on the show and come say hi.
Yeah.
There we go.
Let's go on.
Oh, I got a recommendation for YouTube. I've been watching Banana Ballistics a ton recently.
Really? Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Kelly, have you seen that one?
Yep.
He's a real dorky guy. He does the same thing with all of them. It's all caliber comparisons, and all he does is shoot them into sand, steel, and wood.
But not into bananas?
Yeah, I have seen that.
No. That's clickbait.
does the same thing for all of them. He's got the same dorky jokes. I like the dorky energy of it. It's amazing. And
the nerd.
I like that he's not collecting like great data, but he's collecting data and it's fun. And I like it for that reason. Cool. All right. Well, join our Discord server. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Player, all the other kind of stuff. Join the CCFR. We'll see you next week. Later, everyone.
Later. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.